Hello and welcome, all you hockey fans, to our second installment of the Hockey Talk podcast. How are you doing, Niels?
I am fine, Angus. It's a beautiful morning here in Whitehorse. Sun's coming up. It's probably going to be about 10 or 11 degrees. So looking forward to this Thanksgiving weekend.
Perfect. Yeah. I went for a walk at about 8:30 this morning and it was a bit nippy. I thought I was almost like back in Whitehorse. For anyone who doesn't know, I live in Waterloo, Ontario. It's a little bit warmer than Whitehorse, but I woke up and went for that walk and I was a bit cold, but hopefully it gets a bit sunnier this weekend.
Yeah. I think you will have a milder, fall and winter than your hometown. Yes. Pretty much guaranteed. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. This is one of my favorite parts of the season, actually. The free agent frenzy, the trades. It's exciting as a kind of GM. You're looking at whose stock rising, whose stock's plummeting, what teams are making good moves, what teams are making bad moves. What do you think about this time of the year?
Yeah, I mean, it's really compressed, although it's probably the same compression as it usually is, because the playoffs would generally end the early to mid June and free agent frenzies July 1st. So I guess it's the same gap, but it's certainly a kind of a crazy or a curious time of the year, because we're in the middle of October now. So the world the hockey world is a little bit topsy turvy and upside down. So yes, it's exciting. Of course, there are issues about having a flat salary cap for the next two or three years. So the bad contracts are going to be real albatrosses for the managers. And I think that some of the poaching teams can probably get some pretty good value. What do you think, Angus?
Yeah, like I'm wondering about like whether the contracts in this free agent frenzy will be a little bit tamer because of that flat salary cap. I'm wondering whether, you know, people and GMs will kind of hold back their money a bit because they know that, you know, a 7x6 is a bit worse looking than it was, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, now that we have this flat salary cap going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be, it just has to be I'm not sure about a depressed market, but certainly at best a flat market. We'll get to it, but we've looked at some of the contracts which have been awarded so far, and there's an awful lot of like 800,000, 1.2, 1 million, 1.5 million, a lot of one-year contracts. So the big dogs haven't even been signed yet, and all teams are looking for value for their third and fourth lines, forward lines, and their third D lines.
Yeah, we're actually recording this at Friday, 1:22 or so, Eastern Standard Time. And a signing just came in. Braden Holtby, signed by the Vancouver Canucks. 2 years at $8.6 million, 4.3 cap hit. What do you think about that one?
Well, that's actually probably pretty brilliant for Vancouver, because they were looking at maybe a max contract, like an 8 year, eight times seven or 8x8 on Jakob Markstrom. That's obviously not going to happen now. They have Braden Holtby as the teacher for Thatcher Demko. That will clearly be a 1A, 1B tandem in Vancouver. It's reasonable length, reasonable salary. I think that's pretty smart. I mean, Thatcher Demko looked like he was, could walk on water. Well, he was walking on water. I guess it was frozen water. But he was walking in frozen water. Yes, it's good. It's probably the preferred from a cap, from a building your team, from the youth of that team's perspective. It's probably a better signing. What do you think?
No, yeah. I think that the, seven, six, eight times four, five, six, whatever that is for Markstrom, is a bit of a dumpster fire. Like, I think most goalies, like, you know, you have Price who got signed that long-term high money contract. It doesn't usually pay off, but this 2 years, 8.6, like, what's the worst that can happen? I just don't think there's a huge risk there with Demko looking like an absolute superstar in the playoffs and Holtby historically being a pretty good goalie. I think they could have a pretty solid tandem there for a lot less money and a lot less risk than it would be with Mr. Markstrom.
Yeah, no, I think that's really smart. I approve because I just think that sometimes you and I have talked about this a lot. I don't see a lot of long-term, like 6, 7, 8 year free agent contracts really ever, almost ever working out in the NHL. So I guess managers, they're smart. I guess they're smart. They should know that, but yeah, I think you and I could probably point to, I don't know, fewer than five, maybe in the last 10 years, where you say that was really good value for the full term and the full value of the contract. So that we might be looking at a bit of a, I think this year there will be a shift. So yes. Yeah,
definitely. It's a huge risk signing someone for that much, that many years, that much money. We're going to keep going with the goalie talk here with the signings.
Okay.
Cam Talbot going to Minnesota. 3 years, $11 million, 3 2/3 cap hit. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, I don't, it's fine. I was a Devin Dubnyk fan. I picked him up buy cheap probably 6 or 7 years ago, and he was fantasy gold for me on a number of teams over a number of years. And I think he can come back. I mean, he had fairly well documented personal issues in a pandemic shortened season. So I think he'll do well in San Jose, which is one of one of our teams, one of our
favorite team, yeah.
Well, our favorite team, pretty much the Sharks, and so I think he'll do well there. So I don't know. Maybe it was time for a change of scenery for Dubnyk, but I think Talbot is, I don't know, kind of similar, and they might be. I guess he's probably a few years younger. What say you?
Cam Talbot is 33 years old, and I think Dubnyk, I wrote down, he is 34. So you're not really getting a great difference in age there.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, you're giving him a bit of a term there, like a bit more than the hope. You're giving him 3 years. The cap hit's relatively friendly, but to me that looks a little bit like the Koskinen. Like it's a little bit cheaper, but I think that the team Minnesota, Bill Guerin in particular as a GM, is getting a little bit excited about Talbot's strong playoff play this last season against Winnipeg goalie, what's his name?
Hellebuck,
yeah, against Hellebuck. And I think that, you know, it was a great series for him, but I don't know if that means he deserves that much money.
Well, what was he? He was battling with
Riddick.
David Rittich, and Rittich, you know, Rittich was the number one for the longest time, and Talbot was, you know, just riding the pine. I mean, Talbot has shown moments, certainly moments of more than competence. So, sure, yeah, it doesn't excite me really. No.
Now this next goalie, I actually really like this signing. Washington signing Henrik Lundqvist to 1 year, $1.5 million. Personally, I think that he has, you know, another decent 1B season in him, maybe a 1C. But I think that for $1.5 million behind a Samsonov, a kind of new and upcoming strong goalie, you could see him maybe look a little bit like a Brian Elliott with a heart, give himself some great support in the back-to-backs, give them, you know, quite a few wins, maybe strong playoff performance. I think that's a really good signing. Very, very low risk with that signing.
I agree. I mean, there's almost no downside to this. Lundqvist has had a probably almost Hall of Fame career. He probably doesn't have enough personal hardware and unfortunately never won the cup. So I think that he may be in the Hall of Very Good. Maybe over time he might make the Hall of Fame. Pretty good stats. So, yes, a little bit like Holtby, obviously older than Holtby, total mentor to Sam. I know it's not Samsonite. It's not like the luggage guy, but it's Samsonov. Yes. It's a good signing. Lundqvist probably has a pretty established residency in New York, New York. So he's not far. He's not far from home. So I'm sure he likes that as well. So
yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. Yeah. And we got two very interesting mm-hmm. higher quality goalies here. Tristan Jarry from Pittsburgh re-signing him as an RFA to 3 years, $3.5 a year. I think that's a wonderful signing. Do you agree with that?
Sure. I mean, it was a battle between Jarry and Murray over the last year. And obviously the decision's been made. Murray has been moved. So he has the torch, and he will be given every opportunity to be their number one goalie. And if he is, then getting number one goalie performance for 3 years at 10.5 is that would be absolutely brilliant. So that could very well be a club friendly signing.
No, it kind of boggles my mind that Cam Talbot, after Minnesota sees Tristan Jarry got signed for 10.5 for 3 years, they decide to sign Talbot for the same term but a little bit more money. I just don't see that making much sense. I think Jarry is a stronger goalie. He's younger. He has more upside. I think that it's a much smarter signing than the Talbot signing for sure.
Yeah, I'm just seeing here, though. I guess Jarry was a is a restricted free agent, so you'd get into the offer sheet silly bugger, and it seems like the managers don't generally want to poke each other with those offer sheets. I don't quite understand. Like, I think sometimes offer sheets would totally make sense, but in any event, like, I mean, Minnesota, I guess, could have offer sheeted Jarry, I guess. But the bottom line is that the managers tend to leave the RFAs with their home teams. So there seems to be a bit of a gentle person's agreement on that for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Another, in my opinion, really good signing is Robin Lehner from Vegas. Over the last, 5 years, he's been a really good goalie, like fantastic save percentage over the last few years with the Islanders. And then he played well with Chicago. And then this playoffs, super well played with Vegas. And I think we talked about long contracts for goalies are not a great idea. But I think, 5 years isn't super long. And $25 million, 5 a year, that's a pretty good salary. I think in 4 years, maybe with the salary somewhat inflated, the salary cap, I think that $5 million for one of the better goalies in the league will look just really good for that Vegas team.
Yeah, I mean, Lehner has always had the distinction of having one of the highest save percentages in the NHL over the course of probably the last 3 to 5 years or so, but never really getting his opportunity to be the number one goalie. So Fleury is, he's on his way. Fleury's had an amazing season, amazing career. I think he will be Hall of Fame because he has, I think, a really surprisingly high number of wins. Like he's in the top five, and I think he could even go top three for his career eventually. So that's probably a good fit. I'm sure that Lehner would like to play more games than Fleury, and I estimate he probably will next year. He probably goes, 50-30 or something. Something like that.
Well, do you think Fleury will stay in Vegas?
It depends. I mean, maybe he likes it there. Is he a unrestricted free agent right now, or is he a UFA?
I don't actually know.
Yeah, or does he have one more year left? Or
after the antics in the playoffs with the cartoon that was sent by the agent to the media, I'm not sure if Fleury is welcome in Vegas anymore.
It was like that Fleury was being metaphorically stabbed in the back. That was the cartoon, cartoon, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Which is kind of curious because, I mean, he was like the first pick of the Knights and was kind of the face of the franchise, good news story, you know, get to the finals, almost win the cup in the first year. So yeah, like, and Fleury always has sort of appears to have that smile on his face. So it's a bit, that's not a great, those aren't great optics. It's not great messaging for him. No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, 2 years at $7 million, I think they'll have a hard time ditching him. Like, they probably have to give a sweetener to any team. Like, I don't think any team wants that contract.
He has two more years at 3.5?
$7 million. $7 million a year.
Oh, I see. Not seven total. No. So that's the end of the his pay me contract or whatever. Yeah.
That's ugly.
So yeah, that's a lot of for the next 2 years. That's a lot of cap in goaltending for the Knights. But mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe they stumble through. But what's that? $12 million. $12 million in cap. So yeah.
We're just gonna tie up the goalies here with a bow. We got three backups here, and I'll quickly go through them here.
Sure.
Who? Yeah, I can do it. $1.5 million. Laurent Brossoit, Winnipeg. I mean, he's a backup goalie. That's fine. Brian Elliott, 1 year, 1.5. I think that's honestly a bit of an underpay. He's one of the better backups in the league. I think he's a stronger backup than Brossoit. And the last goalie who we're just going to give a little opinion on here is Malcolm Subban, 2 years, $850,000 a year in Chicago, which, I don't know, like, he's not proven himself as a goalie, NHL caliber goalie. He just consistently gets traded and doesn't do anything. So I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I don't have a strong opinion on any of those, but I agree. I mean, I think that Malcolm Subban has been so far. I mean, yeah, I think he's been given a lot of opportunities to prove himself. It may not be too late. Who's number one in Chicago now?
Well, Crawford's gone, so I'm sure they're going to have to find an actual goalie.
So they don't actually have an actual goalie right now.
They have Mr. Subban.
Oh, I see. Well, that would be an incredible opportunity if it were provided. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen.
No.
And my goodness, there are a lot of goalies on the board still. I think we've got Mr. Jakob Markstrom. There's Khudobin. Who else is there still on the board? Thomas Greiss. That might be a good. That might be a good pick for good fit for Chicago. So yeah, Greiss to Chicago, perhaps.
I can see that happening for sure. Yeah, that'd be a very good signing. Like maybe a 2 year, $9 million. I could see happening. Maybe
it's sort of like Greiss and Lehner are a little bit joined at the hip as far as that's concerned. Hey, being goalies that have had really stellar save percentages, but have never been the workhorses for their respective teams. And of course, I guess they played together, right? They were together on the island, weren't they?
Yeah, so they kind of split time.
Yeah.
What do you think about this one? Bobby Ryan, 1 year, $1 million on the Red Wings.
Sure. Well, I mean, similar to a number of the signings we talked about, pretty low risk for the Red Wings. Once again, Ryan in a mentor role. He, at the beginning of his career, looked like he might be, I think a really solid career in Anaheim. Ended up with, you know, a few, maybe three seasons, maybe four seasons, so with over 30 goals. Slowed down, had personal issues. But, admirably battled back. And I think he was like a Bill Masterton trophy finalist or winner last year. So he has overcome personal difficulties. So hats off to him. And I think he had a hat trick near the end of last season.
First game back after his rehab, is a cool story.
He came back and he had a hattie. So yeah, I mean, once again, I think you and I have had him on various fantasy teams over the last 10, 12 years, and he's shown flashes of competence. Ryan, you know, time waits for no one. He's a certain age now, but he can be a good mentor. I don't know where he fits in. Maybe second power play, second line. I mean, I don't know. I'm not quite sure where his speed is at, or if he's that sort of like, you know, like a bit of a become a bit of a defensive specialist on the third line. That's not really what he's done in his career, but he's going to have to show some defensive competence, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, I think that he's not cracking that first line with Bertuzzi, Mantha, and Larkin, but I think second line, second power play definitely is possible. And yeah, you said four, it looks like it was four seasons with 30 goals.
It wasn't. Yeah,
in a row, which is at that time, I'm sure that's when he got the money. You thought that he was the real deal. But with these contracts, like the Bobby Ryan, I'm looking here, one year, 1 million. Jason Spezza keeps getting those minimum contracts. You got Wayne Simmonds with Toronto, 1 year, 1.5. Maroon, 2 years, 900K a season. Like, these are just great signings. I think the Corey Perry signing is in that category. These old guys with absolutely no risk, very, very low term. Like, it's just, it's great signings for teams. Get them on your third, fourth line. Great locker room guys. I just don't see where the risk and where the downside is in those signings.
You wonder about the economics of the NHL now, where is it the donut? You're going to hole out the middle so that there are going to be sort of fewer, fewer 3 to 5 million AAV signings on respective teams. And that because you have to, you know, you pay your stars or superstars, but you can find your Wayne Simmonds, you can find the Jason Spezzas, the Murrays,
you can add Kyle Turris to that list. He got signed 2 years, 1.65 a year in Edmonton. I really like that signing. I think that he has potential to play with McDavid or Draisaitl and look like a better, more offensively minded Cassian, or kind of like maybe a better than an Athanasiou. I think that could be a really, really good signing for Edmonton.
Yeah, you've heard some, like he was, for whatever reason, he did not jive with the Laviolette systems, and he was really looking almost like not an NHL player anymore. So this will certainly give an opportunity to revitalize his career. I mean, he was a high first round pick. He did amazingly in the World Juniors. He was like a leader in the World Juniors, and had some like decent seasons. He has not realized his potential whatsoever. So it's certainly a good opportunity for him to try to do so. And a change of scenery will certainly will likely help him. I can't disagree with that.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And here, Dominik Kubalík, 2 years, 3.7 a year. This is like one of those things where you could say, you know, you're getting overexcited about, you know, one great season, but you know, he's 25 years old, and I just think that kind of signing, there's really no downside. And I'm sure they were looking to give him maybe a little bit of a longer term at 5 million, and he wanted to prove himself, right? But I think that that's a pretty good contract for both parties. Like, he has the opportunity in the next 2 years to show that he is a 30 goal guy consistently, and they get to have him for, you know, pretty discount price for the next two seasons. He is actual cap salary. He is 3.4 next season, and then $4 million for the season after that.
What was he doing? Like, I'm a bit surprised he's 25. So what was happening between 19 and, 23? Was he just establishing himself in the minors, or what was happening?
It was a lot of Czech Republic. It was a lot of NLA, whatever that is. Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
Just playing Europe. And I kind of wonder how he just decided to make the jump to the NHL and get 30 goals in 68 games. It's interesting.
And he had a 5-point playoff game. Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, like early in the playoffs, or in that Edmonton series, I think he had a breakout game where he got five points. So, yeah, sure. I mean, that's okay. I mean, he's obviously slightly getting paid now, and there is certainly some risk of a reversion to the norm. He seems to have he does seem to have skill and is working in the Chicago system pretty well. Playing well with either Jonathan Toews or Patrick Kane. He's probably, I guess, first power play unit, and is a bit of the trigger man. I think is he the goal scorer or is he the assist guy? Anyway, he's
he's 30 goals, 18 assists, total goal guy.
So he's a goal guy. So that's that's also fantasy gold as well. So from a point per game or a point per dollar perspective in pools where you have where goals are rewarded and specialty goals are rewarded, Kubalik would be a pretty early pickup. Maybe as early as the first round, just in regular season pool, but in perpetual pools. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think in a perpetual pool, I think definitely he goes in the first round. Yeah. And I think a lot of these guys we've been talking about, the kind of cheaper young guys, take a flyer on them. I think you take those, maybe not first round, but one of the third, fourth sort of round, I would say, because mm-hmm. they have high upside. Another guy here, this one I think is a little bit of a almost sunk cost fallacy, which is a sunk cost fallacy is when something's going wrong and, you know, for a stock, for example, it's plummeting, but you just keep holding on to the stock because you've already put so much money into it. And this example here is Jesse Puljujarvi, like with Edmonton, they're re-signing him to 2 more years. The salary isn't much. So I guess like it's a pretty low risk signing, but it seems like they're just like trying to get value out of someone who might just have absolutely no value.
Yeah. I mean, I think, he's still young, right? He's probably still only like 21 or 22 years old. The Finns and the Swedes are sometimes later developing, but that generally applies to defensemen. Victor Hedman, who's now an all-world defenseman, arguably in the discussion about being the best defenseman in the world right now, had pretty unremarkable, probably his first 2 or 3 seasons, developing slowly, but obviously a very high draft pick, similar to Puljujarvi. Puljujarvi was, what, number 4 or something? Number 4. And I know, I think I picked him in a pool once. It's like, oh, yeah, ugh. Liney was the pick before, but of course, Liney hasn't been on a complete upward trajectory either, although right away it looked pretty bad. So I would, like, this is probably an okay reclamation project. Puljujarvi is younger than we think, and the Scandinavian players sometimes do take longer to develop. He's a big body. I'm not sure who are big Scandinavian forwards in the NHL right now. I don't know. Like who is there? But
he's 6'4", 6'4", 201 pound, which is
also he's kind of underweight, but he's a tall boy, but okay. So we'll see. Like I said, not a massive investment. It would be kind of cool, I guess, if he actually did turn the corner and had a serviceable NHL career. The Oilers have been amazing at first round busts, so bust the curse.
One other few signings here, but one of them is Jeff Petrie, 4 years, 6.25 a year in Montreal. I really like that tandem with Weber, and I think that for one of the top defensemen, maybe a top 20 defenseman in the league, 6.25 AAV is a pretty reasonable pay. Like you're not giving him the Victor Hedman 10 million or the Josi big money. That's a pretty reasonable cap hit for him. They signed him to the 5.5 times 6 years in 2015-16 looked pretty questionable at the time. He'd done very little. I'm looking back now. He'd done almost nothing before that, but he ended up becoming a really good player. So that ended up looking like a decent contract. And I think this is another pretty solid signing for Montreal.
Sure. I mean, it's not a bargain. It's not a hometown discount, but I agree that prior contract, at least initially, looked like, oh my goodness, like that is an overpay. But then, like, Petrie's a surprisingly effective offensive option, and I didn't see that in Petrie like 4 or 5 years ago, but that has happened. I don't think free agents in general aren't necessarily lining up to play in Canada in a general sense. So there tends to be a bit of a, there's certainly not a hometown discount. If sometimes there's even like a, you know, perhaps a Canadian premium, whether that's the Canadian dollar or our taxes or, you know, or the weather or whatever it is there. Yeah. I mean, so players will play, of course, in Vancouver. But that might be about it, really. You say that, you know, Toronto is a hockey hotbed. Of course it is, but it doesn't sound, it seems like they just pay and like, oh, can we pay some more for our players? Mm-hmm. That's certainly the case in my view. So
yeah, Toronto definitely likes giving away the big money. You were talking about hometown discount. Speaking about hometown discount, Anton Khudobin, 3 years, $3.5 million, the exact same contract of Tristan Jarry, and for an almost a cup winner. I think that could look just absolutely fantastic. And we picked him up really late in one of the waiver drafts in our league. Had him in the playoffs. He got us into second or third place. And I think that next year, maybe they don't sign Bishop and he just ends up being a, you know, 1A or even just a starter for 3x3.5. That just looks like an amazing signing for Dallas and for fantasy owners of Anton Khudobin all around the planet.
I think without, Khudobin, I mean, every year you have a, who is it? Like a, I don't know, like a Fernando Pisani or the Braden Point of this year, who was, you know, probably exceeded expectations, but certainly Anton Khudobin in the playoffs exceeded expectations. And for all Poolies who improbably had him as their number one goalie, they were rewarded. And yes, just having him would put you at least in the running to be on the podium in the playoffs. I don't know. Ben Bishop, yeah, like I said, we've had him as a fantasy starter for many years as well, and obviously has done exceptionally well. A little bit injury prone, but save percentage is always there, and I think his record over the last 6 or 7 years probably stacks up pretty well in a comparison of all NHL goaltenders. So it's still a scrap. It's still a scrap in Dallas, I would say, between Khudobin and Bishop. But Angus, how much term does Bishop have left?
3 years at just under $5 million. I think for a bit of a Band-Aid boy who is now 33, I'm not sure. I think if they got a good offer for him, I'd definitely get rid of him. I think that Khudobin with maybe they sign Greiss. They sign Greiss, get rid of Bishop, save a bit of money, get potentially a better 1B, and I think that could be a good tandem.
Yeah, I don't think that Bishop will necessarily fly off, quote-unquote, fly off the shelf, though, just on that contract and that age and a little bit, as you say, Band-Aid boy, a little bit injury-prone. So, yeah, they might be stuck with Ben and Anton for now.
Yeah, Big Ben.
Big Ben and actually kind of little Anton, I think, yeah.
Tiny Anton, yeah, yeah.
Well, tiny Anton, I think at 6'1 or something like that. A 6 or 6'1, I think, yeah. Yeah.
Tiny for a goalie, I guess.
Yeah.
Another one of these kind of 5'11", actually. Mm-hmm. Another one of these kind of copy contracts we got here, which is the Matt Murray in Ottawa, 5 years, $25 million. It's a carbon copy of the Robin Lehner. And personally, I would say Robin Lehner is a stronger goalie. I think that 5x5 for Matt Murray could look okay, could look meh. I think that Ottawa has a lot of cap room. I think that's a fine signing. I'm okay with that signing. It's a hold for me.
Agreed. It's probably a hold. yeah, Matt Murray. Who's he like? He's like, we talked about this. He's like Cam Ward, I guess, and probably a few other examples. Not Ken Dryden, certainly, but I would really be aging myself there. But goalies who just come onto the scene and they win the Stanley Cup. It's like, whoa, they win the Stanley Cup. And you think onwards and upwards. There's only all they have in front of them is super stardom. And it doesn't necessarily pan out. I think that applies to Murray, and it obviously applied to Cam Ward, who ultimately had a pretty strong career. But did he actually win the Conn Smythe? Anyway, I think it was his first season. He wins the cup. Matt Murray comes in and wins the cup with Pittsburgh as well. So good for both of them, because it's tough to win the cup. Matt Murray, he's a slight goaltender. He always looks quite slight to me, and maybe not super durable. It's an okay signing.
Yeah, you say a little bit slight. He's tiny. He's 6'4", 178. That is a very slight boy. We're going to break down some trades now after all those interesting signings. The first one I want to touch on, which I think to me might be one of the more interesting ones, is Josh Anderson for Max Domi and a third round pick. What do you think about that trade?
I don't know. I mean, it's probably two players who have underwhelmed so far, and it's probably the change of scenery, change of team could do both of them quite well. I'm not even really super familiar with what Josh Anderson has done. I mean, he's pretty mediocre so far. You know, Max Domi has the name and probably a bit more skill than daddy Ty. But I don't even know if his stats are even demonstrably better than Ty Domi's. He certainly wouldn't have the penalty minutes that his dad has. So I don't know. Sandpaper to Columbus and maybe some potential skill to Montreal.
Well, Daddy Clark, you might have not known this, but Max Domi, 72 points 2 years ago, which if you can get anywhere near that in Columbus, that looks fantastic for them. And it was a trade and sign. Domi was 2 years, 5.3, which I think, you know, if he gets anywhere near 72 points with some aggression and penalty killing, perhaps that could be a great signing. Last year, he only got 44 points. And the other way, coming back to Montreal, Anderson, a very peculiar signing, 7 years, $5.5 million. That just, to me, looks horrible. He got 47 points 2 years ago, but last year he had a dismal 4 points in 26 games. So I think that could look like one of the worst contracts in the history of the NHL. I think
what does Montreal know? What does Montreal know about Josh Anderson that we don't know? They must think he has almost unlimited potential.
I mean, they have to. Yeah. And I'm thinking back to what we were talking to earlier about Jeff Petrie. Maybe this is a kind of Jeff Petrie situation. Like maybe they have something that no one else knows, and then I guess in, you know, 5 years, $5.5 million will probably be the new $4 million. So I guess that could, near the end of this contract, look good, or at least okay. We're going to turn now to our favorite team. Two trades. The first one to San Jose, Ryan Donato. What do you think about that one? Do you see that one?
That looks really good. Yeah, I'm not sure what are Mr. Donato's terms right now. But the bottom line is, you gave up a third round pick for a real NHL player, still relatively young. This is the theme we had at the beginning of the podcast, Angus, which was that if you are the team that has cap room and you're prepared to accept salary, you will not have to pay a great deal for real NHL players. So I think San Jose is on the receiving end of that. Third round picks, next year, whatever. Yes, maybe, could happen. I mean, even that even applies to the first round, right? So by the time you get to the third round, it's like when you're judging, 18-year-olds. More misses than hits by the time you get to the third round. So.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that he's 1 year, 2.15. And an interesting stat, he was a +5 on Minnesota last year, which was a pretty bad team. I think that's pretty impressive that he was able to keep a +5. And I think a potential second liner who's only 24 for a third rounder, like, I'll take that any day.
So you think maybe slot into the second line?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so. And another San Jose, they took one of our favorite goalies historically, Devin Dubnyk at 1 year, $2.5 million. And I think he's been like amazing in the last six seasons before the last one, like the prior ones. And he's 34. I think that could be a fantastic signing, being the kind of 1A goalie in San Jose with Martin Jones potentially rebounding after some pretty dismal seasons in the last few.
Yeah, I mean, Martin Jones is the pride of North Vancouver, and of course, we don't want to slam North Vancouver too aggressively, because that's where mom's from. That's where your dear mother's from. But my goodness, the pride of North Vancouver, Martin Jones, has had pretty dismal save percentage over the last, I don't know, it's at least 2 years. It's probably 3 years. I mean, it's a save percentage that starts with an 8, isn't it? It's like an 885 or an 892 or something like that. So that's not going to take you to the promised land. And the problem is going to be in San Jose that they're in a bit of a rebuild. So they need a real NHL goaltender. And why not? Like Devin Dubnyk should be in a position to backstop and to stop a lot of pucks and to see a lot of rubber, sort of a la, Roberto Luongo in Florida many years ago when he set like an NHL record for shots on goal. So I don't think that's going to happen in San Jose, but it's probably not going to be pretty in San Jose next year, although they have solid management and players like to play in San Jose. So as far as hometown discounts, San Jose tends to get those. Except, of course, for who, Angus? Eric Carlson. Ugh. Ugh.
Oh, yeah, that's an ugly one.
Really?
And Martin Jones is 4 more years at almost $6 million. That is just sad.
Really? Sad. Oh, my God. Yeah, oh, yeah. Ouch. Ouch.
896 in the last two seasons, both the same save percentage. That is horrible.
Consistently bad. I think he's generally been, it's close to the 30th, I think. Like I'm number 30 of starting NHL goalies. I'm number 30 in save percentage. So, oh.
Yeah, like, he loves that, yeah.
I'm number 30. And like 4 more years at $6 million. Ouch. Ouch.
I know. Yeah.
Ouch.
We're going to just end this podcast with some lightning round. I'll just ask you, tell you some trades, and you tell me who wins the trade, okay?
Sure. Yes, of course.
Yeah, ready?
Yeah.
Toronto gets a first rounder, Evan Rodriguez, and two whatever players. For Pittsburgh gets Kapanen, Aberg, and a whatever. Who wins that trade?
Toronto. Sure, Toronto.
Agreed, yeah. Montreal gets Jake Allen and a 7th, and St. Louis gets a 3rd and a 7th.
Too soon to tell? What do you say?
I'm going to override. I'll say St. Louis. That's a big salary dump. I think that'll be pretty successful. Next one, Minnesota gets Johansson. Buffalo gets Eric Staal.
Short term, I'll say Buffalo. They need someone like Eric Staal to be a mentor to Jack Eichel, and hopefully White Horse's own Dylan Cousins.
Yes.
So we hope that Dylan is on the NHL roster for Buffalo this year.
No, I think he can do it. But yeah, Marcus Johansson there, he's paid more. He's never done anything in his career, really. 58 points is the most he's ever gotten. He's 30 years old. I just don't see that really panning out. And Eric Staal could give you know, two or three more great seasons. Okay, we got about three more here. Okay. Pittsburgh got Mike Matheson and Colton Sevier, and Florida got Patrick Hornqvist. I can answer this. I can answer this one. It's easy.
Okay.
Matheson has 6 years at $5 million. So I think that we don't need to talk about this one very much.
The beginning and the end of the conversation. I guess if Florida ever actualized their potential of those forwards who look like they should really be among the best forwards in the NHL, then Hornqvist can help them do the dirty work in front of the net. But my goodness, Florida has really underperformed in the last 2 years. Well, maybe the last forever, maybe. But really, I think you and I thought that Florida would go somewhere. And it's like, why have they not gone anywhere?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I bet on them in the playoffs, and it was a sad time. Mm-hmm. All right, Dad, that is all the time we've got, I think. Okay. That was a pleasure. Another podcast in our book of podcasts. That was exciting. It was a good time.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, we'll have a bit of time, I guess, to look at the big, the quote unquote big dogs maybe next time, because the teams have been reluctant so far to make the big signings. So we will have to see what happens in the next week or so, because I don't think almost zero of the TSN top players have been signed yet. So that's interesting as far as the economics of the NHL this year.
And because you said big dog, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you one trivia question, and then we are going to be done for the podcast.
All right. Okay. All right. Let's see how it goes. All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wait a sec. Mark Messier.
Yes.
Career assist. Yeah, how many assists did he have in his career?
Oh, guess he's he has. Oh, I embarrass myself here. I'd say he probably has around 1,100 assists.
1,193.
Not bad. Not bad. That's certainly in the ballpark. Like that's an 11. That's an 11 out of 12 as far as like a grouping there. It's not bad. Not bad.
There we go. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Dad, for another great podcast. And thank you, all you Hockey Talk listeners. I hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed our podcast.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone.